I would rather somebody spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible for an entire year, if they actually carried it through the whole year, than to knuckle down and be like, an hour a day, every day. But they burn out after a week, because that's what I've always done. And so that's what we would say, is make it easy. If you think the goal you've set is easy, reduce it by half. It should sound so easy that you're almost embarrassed to share the goal with other people. Like, right. I don't know, that doesn't sound ambitious at all. Like that, it's that level of easiness that we want to aim for.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. All right, so, you know, I got a funny way to remember your name, Chris.
Okay.
It just came to me when I was walking in the studio. Maddie, who you met, Maddie brings you in and she's coordinating with you. She hums a song that makes me remember your name. So we got Chris Papalardo. Dun, dun, dun. You know that song? You guys are too young.
Do it again. Do it again. Like, we'll get it.
What are we opening?
This is the opening right here.
This is great.
Producer's just looking in here like, this is not going to make it onto the air.
But well, you got to have something.
There
to
was
cut,
a song,
you
know, way back in my generation called I Like Pina Colada.
Oh, I know that.
Wait,
one.
That did not sound
I got
like
Chris, Papalardo. And Clayton Green.
Okay.
There you go. We got both your names.
Okay.
Yep.
That's
your intro to Family Life Today. Welcome to Family Life Today.
That's good.
Aren't you glad you're here?
Pina Colada. And Chris Papalardo.
Yeah, sure.
Let me tell you, you're never going to forget his name now. Well, you are in a song.
You have to sing it, though.
It's a weird song.
Yeah.
I have had so many people play with my name over the years, and this was the first. Yeah. That has never happened.
That's what I'm going
leave
for.
Leave it to Dave.
So yes. Leave it to Maddie. Maddie put the song in my head.
She was humming this?
And I'm never going to be able to say his name without thinking of it.
We've had a lot of fun just talking to you guys before we even started the interview. So I'm going to drop this deep because I feel like you guys are super knowledgeable.
You just said you guys dropped something deep.
I know, I
that
am.
That means you've decided
no,
it's
no, no,
deep.
No. I'm saying
we'll
like,
decide if it's
we've
deep
been
or not.
Like
I think it was a shot
around.
At you, Dave. She's like,
no.
Right, Dave did his thing. I'm gonna take us a different direction.
I'm the light guy. She's the deep one.
No, I'm not at all.
Go ahead. Let's hear your deep.
But as a mom doing ministry for 45 years, I'm going to ask you guys, now this isn't a number that you would know, but just off at the top of your head, we feel like spiritual disciplines, discipleship, this is not something that generally takes place in 100% of homes.
Yeah,
so
right.
What percentage of Christian homes are discipling their kids or building spiritual habits in their families?
My gut is 100%.
I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, great. Wait, great. I'm glad we're together on that.
Yeah. You think 100% of parents are building disciples and building habits?
I know what they're doing.
Yeah, see? We're going real deep, right? Maybe not all of them intentionally.
Right.
There
or
it is.
Knowing what they're doing. I think in a conversation that Kristen and I have had, Kristen is my wife. This is Chris, my co-author.
It's confusing.
Chris and I talk all the time about kids being able to go inside Target and buy chewing gum. How many five-year-olds did you didactically teach? Did you plan, I will teach this kid how to walk inside Target with a card, buy the gum or the Sour Patch Kids that they want, go up to the self-checkout register, beep, scan it, put the card up and walk out with the receipt in their hand.
Like
none of us.
No, that's not
nobody
a thing
actually planned to do that. How many 5-year-olds can do it? 100%.
Yeah.
Right? Because you naturally do it. We are all very naturally training up our children in something. We're all discipling them in something. And I think the question is the day in and day out things that you regularly do, those are the things your kids are going to take with them whenever they leave your home. So I think you have to think more intentionally about it.
I would say that the percentage of families who feel like they're doing it well and would be able to say to somebody else, yeah, go ahead, look at my life, take cues from me. Hmm. That's probably closer to like 10%.
Yeah.
I mean,
10%.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
So. Because even if you're really intentional about it, we're super intentional about this. There's just a lot of insecurity about that saying, I don't know, am I doing this right?
I'm so glad you said that because I feel like we were asking those questions all the time.
Yeah. It's simpler before you have kids, which, you know, you just can't We have a lot of friends with children, a lot of friends without. And it's just, you get to a point where you're like, I can't explain to you this seismic shift that happens here. And it's, I don't want to make you feel less than because you don't have kids, but like, it's, you just don't understand the simplicity that the amount of time you have, right?
What did you guys think before you had kids?
About parenting?
About how you would disciple your kids spiritually.
I didn't. That might sound bad. I wasn't thinking, all right, here's going to be my plan for what it is to disciple a 5-year-old or a 15-year-old. It's just, I don't know, maybe in the back, way back in my head, I thought, I guess I'll figure it out when I get there. If you had asked me, I was confident and arrogant enough that I'm sure I would have had an answer. It just wouldn't have been a good one because I hadn't given any thought.
Or it might not be that we didn't have a plan, but it's, I would have had an opinion when I thought somebody else was doing a bad job.
Yeah, that's probably closer to it.
That's not right. I can't believe they let that happen, right? But I think the reason it's probably 15 to 20% of people who actually have something that they would recommend to somebody else in terms of spiritual rhythms in their home is because we don't really have a plan. I think there's the process of that Chris and I are on that we want to invite other people into is being willing to have that conversation that you said you had a number of times, like, am I failing?
Yeah, am I doing this right?
We actually think that is very common and that should be okay. But it's the consistency of starting again, trying something different, continuing to try to make sure that the spiritual things happening in your home are consistent. That's a gift to your kids. And so you have to be able to say, hey, we dropped the ball. Let's start again. Because everybody's going to drop the ball at some point.
Oh, that's good. Right? It kind of gives you hope as a parent, like I'm failing and I'll always fail. You're saying, no, we all probably feel like that, but you can always start over.
Yeah, it's not a bug. It's a feature of the process. Because we try to say that creating a habit is easy, or we try to give a plan for it, right? And here's 6 steps you can do in order to create a new spiritual habit in your home. But it's actually way more complicated than just 6 steps. It's actually 6 things that you can do in order to try to be more consistent. And you have to try, and then it messes up, and then you try again, and then it messes up, and then you try again.
But you guys, it's really good. Because as I was reading, I'm like, this is doable. This is simple enough. It's really practical.
I thought it's not doable at all. So,
thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. A really hard,
that's
hard.
That's deep. That's deep.
No, I'm kidding. But in some ways, building a habit is hard. Because right. You've got to, like you said, you're going to fail. And you got to start over. And it's hard to start over sometimes. Sometimes you just sort of quit.
Some things are hard implicitly. And you can make them as easy as possible, but like, it's still just a very difficult thing. Yeah. And I think spiritual habits are like that. And then there are some things that are hard that shouldn't be, because they're easy and we make them more complicated. And so what we're trying to do in the book is saying, okay, let's just be honest. This is very difficult. It's going to be very difficult no matter what. We're going to try to get it as easy as possible because it already is that hard. There's not a key here where you read the book and you're like, oh, great. I knew it was incredibly simple and I was an idiot for not getting it. Now there's a patent. Like, no, it's still very, very difficult, but we don't have to make it harder than it needs to be. This can be actually slightly easier.
I mean, in some ways, I've even heard you say, you guys are Atomic Habits meets Jesus. Mm-hmm. So which one of you is Jesus?
Chris is.
And which one of you is Habits?
Dave, you took my joke. I love that. Whereas Atomic Habits meets Jesus, and I'm Habits, and he's Jesus. And he hates it when I say that because, you know, the comparison, you know. I've read a ton of habit science books. I absolutely love them. Chris has read a lot of the Bible. And that's not to say that the opposite person hasn't done some of the other things.
You're more spiritual. That's all he's saying.
Yeah. How do you measure up when someone says, oh, he's basically Jesus? I'm like, you have to say that's not, no.
But this is how our relationship naturally functions, is I'm like, all right, so prayer is really, really hard because, and just this random idea about prayer. Chris, where's that in the Bible? Like, literally, that's how like half of our conversations start. And so goes a beautiful friendship, and hopefully it's helpful to us and to other people at some point. So when I used to read habit science books, social psychology books, whatever it be, Atomic Habits is one. The Power of Habit is another. Chip and Dan Heath wrote a book called Switch. I mean, all these are really, really, the reason they write these books and they get so popular is because doing the things that you want to do in life is a lot harder than just thinking about doing something, actually making it happen in your life. But every time I would read one of these books, I would be reading it and applying it to reading the Bible. I would be reading prayer. I would apply it to exercise or dieting. I would also apply it to prep my prayer life? Mm-hmm. How do I get more consistent at this? This thing says if you put your tennis shoes by the door, that you're more likely to take more steps in a day. That's good for your physical health. That's a small little tip of just by placing your shoes there, you're more likely to do it. And that's a good thing for you. And the same thing is true of where you place your Bible. So every time I was reading one of these books, I was actually applying it to my spiritual life. And hopefully what we've done here at Atomic Habits Meets Jesus is we've taken some of those things that the habit scientists have discovered, and we've actually shown that these ideas and these tips, they're incredibly consistent with scripture and what God calls us to do. Mm. And so we're just taking those things, putting them together and saying, hey, let's be more consistent. That'll be good for us. That'll be good for our kids as well.
Have you heard the one where, you know, you put your shoes under the bed?
That's a different one.
No, tell us.
Come on, you've heard that one, right?
No, I haven't either.
I don't know who I heard say this, and I've never done it.
Okay.
But I should do it. They said, when you go to bed at night, put your shoes under the bed, and then when you wake up in the morning, you'll be on your knees looking for your shoes and just stay there and pray. Okay. And I'm like,
dude, that's probably not a bad idea. We should have put that in this book. I think the editors will let us come. We could write a sequel.
And the book is called Building Spiritual Habits in the Home, Small Steps You Can Take Today.
That's got little building blocks.
Oh, do your block.
Oh, yeah. We got the Gratitude Cube.
Cube. Gratitude.
Tell us about the Gratitude Cube.
Gratitude.
It's with a K. Gratitude Cube. I got it. Gratitude
Cube.
There we go. We got to do one of these.
Wait, did you get the one on the top? What is this?
Yeah, what is it? It's a Gratitude Cube. Gratitude.
What is this, Ann? He clearly knows what it is. It's one of his favorite toys, as you can tell by how well he knows it.
Gratitude Cube. I'm a 5-year-old kid. I don't know what it is.
Or I'm a parent listening, like, I want to get that. What is that thing?
Yeah.
I think the funny thing
I'm a grandpa, and I don't know what it is. So explain it to me.
The funny thing is, a 5-year-old would be the most intuitive to know what to do with this.
Because
we have Graticubes on the table. They pick it up, roll it, and immediately know how it operates.
Yeah, so you don't have to explain it. So the Graticube is a 12-sided die. It's actually a dodecahedron is what it's called. On each side.
I knew that. Dodecahedron.
It has a prompt.
Just I can't even say it.
No, that was flawless, Dave.
Just
let him explain it.
Dodecahedron.
It's got 12 sides.
The dodecahedron has 12 sides, and on each side it has a conversational prompt that you're supposed to, when you roll it, it says food. And you start with, God, thank you for pizza, which is what almost every kid would say, or noodles, or whatever it is. And so it just adds variety and gratitude to your everyday table conversation.
So it's got, the 12 sides are all over the place. Some are as simple as, food. Some get a little deeper, like a tough time you experienced or some truth about God. But it's just, we try to imagine what it would look like to say, what are the various types of things you can be grateful for? And we just made them categories all over the cube. And because it's like this, it's really playful. Kids, I'm telling you, they pick it up. They're like, I don't know what this is, but I'm rolling it.
So. Yeah, that was going to be my question. It's playful. Does it ever go like powerful? Like get pretty tender?
Absolutely. So there's one of the sides is God thanks for being, where you get to hear your child actually talk about what they know about God, which is really beautiful. There's one on here, which is a difficult time, because you can be grateful for God being with you in a difficult time. And so that one almost always kind of points towards something that is a little bit more meaningful. But
and
you don't need to
have kids to do this. I'm thinking of married couples, like we don't even talk. We just are on our phones while we eat. Our kids are gone or we don't have kids. It could work for a married couple.
Small group icebreaker. Bosses will have it sitting on their desk. I mean, it adds variety and gratitude into normal conversations. It really helps with kind of getting closer to somebody.
That's good.
And it's a great habit. Talk about fun habits at the dinner table. Do you just keep the cubes on the table?
Mm-hmm. All the stuff we make, the goal is to cultivate a spiritual practice or a spiritual habit. But what we realized is if it's not beautiful in its own right and something that families want to look at, then it doesn't matter how spiritual they are. They're going to tuck it away. And so it's got to be appealing to the eye.
It really helps open up the conversation to something more than just kind of the normal initial
pleasantries.
We can
keep it right here at Family Life Today table.
It builds intimacy.
And we'll do it with our guests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tell them to roll it.
Well, here is, I think about spiritual habits. You guys are dads. We're parents and grandparents. Every Christian parent I know wants to do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Build spiritual habits into their home. Great title. Where do we start? I mean, they're listening going, okay, I've been trying this and it hasn't been working.
Right.
How do I start over? Or where do I, maybe it's a young parent just had a baby. Where would you help them start?
it might be a cop-out to say our book would be an excellent place for them to start.
That'd be a good one.
I think so, too, because
go to Family Life Today. Click on the link in the show notes. We have it there. You can buy it.
One of the things we say in the book is there are basically six features of what makes a habit stick. And the first and most important one we mentioned there is to make it easy. All the habit science books say this, too. This is my experience.
Tell Are you allowed to say this? Because you're Jesus. Should the habits guy be saying?
Yeah. I have also read some habit books. This gets
Maybe
lost.
One.
And Clayton is a pastor.
Okay. So you
He's
both
read
did.
The Bible. Yeah. He overstates for emphasis. In the habit science books are always saying, like, look, here, I'll take it out of the habit science. My own personal experience with spiritual habits, if you resonate with this at all, I get to a spot where I'm like, you know what? I really ought to read the Bible more.
So every Christian at some point.
Right, at some point.
For sure.
So I come up with a plan, and this year I'm going to read the Bible in a year, and I print out the plan, and I do it, whatever. But every time I make the target, it feels like I could do that. Maybe it's a little ambitious, but it's totally doable. And after 2 weeks in, something has happened. It's harder to read on the weekends. My kid has gotten up earlier than I expected, so I didn't have that time in the morning. And now I'm behind on the reading plan. And after a month, I feel like a total failure. And for a long time, I felt like, well, I guess I just need to gut it out and do a little better, you know, because other people don't seem to be having this problem. They're consistently doing this. And what we're recommending instead is saying, hey, it would be wonderful for you to read the Bible in a year. That's a great, great thing to do. But if you set that as a target and you fall off after a couple of weeks, you beat yourself up, you think you're a failure, and then you stop, that's not good for anybody. If you set the goal tremendously lower, you will hit that mark for a few days, and then you'll experience momentum. You'll be encouraged because you actually did it, and it will keep going. So I would rather somebody spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible for an entire year if they actually carried it through the whole year, than to knuckle down and be like an hour a day, every day, but they burn out after a week because that's what I've always done. And so that's what we would say, make it easy. If you think the goal you set is easy, reduce it by half. It should sound so easy that you're almost embarrassed to share the goal with other people. Like, right. I don't know, that doesn't sound ambitious at all. Like that, it's that level of easiness that we want to aim for. And that'll actually get you started. So that would be my first piece of advice.
And the piece I would add to that was we have in every chapter, we do something where we celebrate what's working.
Right.
Because there are a lot of things that people are doing, like your question in the very beginning, like 100% of people are discipling their kids in some way. And so if you look at what already is existing and see how you can take those things and either one, be thankful and give yourself credit for it, or add something onto it, you're much more likely in order to continue to do more. So you have to make it easy, but you also can celebrate what's working. Mm. The habit scientists would call that habit stacking. Mm. So if you put scripture memory verses right beside your toothbrush, you're more likely to read that scripture memory verse and get into a habit of reading it over and over again so you commit it to memory, as opposed to if you put it on your nightstand, which might be a good idea, but by the time you get to your nightstand, what are you doing? You're trying to lay down. But you're much more likely to spend the time while you're standing there brushing your teeth. And of course, you know, Dave, if you have a rhythm of brushing your teeth, I don't know if that's
just called him out.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, that's good to me.
You tell me.
Yeah. So the habit stacking and the celebrating what is working, you know, attending worship is a spiritual habit. So you have to, in some ways, you have to give yourself credit for that. Maybe be a little bit more consistent in it. But like that, once you start saying, I am doing this and you're building confidence, you're building momentum, that's when you actually can begin to add more things in.
I was reading, I think, a book by Justin Whitmell Early on, he's written some fantastic stuff on spiritual disciplines. But in one of his books, he had a moment like this where he paused and said, hey, you know, it's possible you're already doing some of this stuff and you don't need to find problems to solve, but just recognize things that are already working. And that we were writing this book and I thought, we need to call that out because we read so many books like this and it's, I struggled for a long time and didn't understand it, but now I found the key and you're probably stuck and broken too, but I can fix it. And it's like, you know, maybe people actually needed just a little bit of encouragement to say, hey, you know what? I know you feel like a failure and great, there's some things to fix, but something is already working. Like, build on that. Mm. Don't start from the posture of complete failure because that's just not an honest place to be.
Mm. Yeah, a very practical example of that would be the number of families that we were speaking of earlier, families of faith, that would have a normal Sabbath practice is going to be pretty small. You know, I don't know, we'd have to do a poll in order to see how, if they were thinking they're accomplishing it. The number of families of faith that have a regular weekend meal that is in some ways celebratory in order to kick off not being the work week is much, much higher. It doesn't mean that just because we have pizza on Friday nights that I'm doing Sabbath. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm saying when you have pizza on Friday nights, or if you have it on Saturday night, that that then becomes a launching pad for something that does then teach your kids something spiritual and train that up in them.
I like that, because it's simple. You're already probably having a meal together one day a week. So just add on top to that just a little spiritual component.
Great marriages don't just happen. They take intentional investment.
And that's why we want to acknowledge today's sponsor, Weekend to Remember, a three-day marriage getaway hosted by Family Life.
Weekend to Remember has been held in cities across the country for more than 40 years with over 80 events each year.
And millions of couples have attended to strengthen communication, resolve conflict, and grow together.
To find an event near you and learn more, visit weekendtoremember.com.
I really like your five roots for your spiritual habits. I'm like, man, that is just good to know.
They're so simple.
Simple. Like, talk about those. Do you want me to read them
deep,
to you?
But you're simple. You can wade into where your deepness is. Does that make sense? That was deep right there.
I like that a lot.
But I mean, just your first one, God starts.
Yeah.
Walk us through those. Those are really good.
And I feel like it's catechism in a way.
It is. And it was the last piece that we came to, because we started with all the practical. Okay, what do you change? What are the things that people need to do differently? And along the way, Clayton, you suggested to me, like, should we tell people where this is coming from? Like a biblical foundation for it?
And yeah, we have some assumptions about God that inform how we think about spiritual habits.
Yeah, but they were really, they were in the background. And so we just brought them to the foreground. And it's funny because I've been to seminary twice. I've done a lot of the seminary stuff.
Of course, you're Jesus. Twice.
Thank you. I grow more and more uncomfortable with this comparison as the interview progresses.
We're done.
No, you can keep laying it on. Give me something to repent for later. And so I've been to seminary, but I never had somebody attach theological truths to spiritual disciplines in a helpful way. And so we wanted to do that for people to say, like, look, you could say that God is all powerful and omniscient and whatever, list out the attributes, but what does that actually do for me when I'm struggling to pray consistently? It felt like a disconnect. So we came up with five, and we call them roots because they are where all of this comes from. If you want to grow the spiritual life, this is how you need to root yourself in scripture. So you mentioned one, Dave. God starts. Number two, God wants to be with you. This is the goal of any spiritual habit is intimacy. Number three, God is real, but we can't see him. It's very important. Number four, God prefers to work slowly. He can go quickly, but his usual mode is slowly. And then God is gracious. Every Christian is going to hear those and say, well, yeah, that's true. I already know that. But I don't think we generally take those and actually apply them to spiritual practice. Like God starts, for instance, because our spiritual habits generally start from a place of, I'm not praying enough, I need to pray more. In our heads, we think I'm initiating something, but that's not the case because God has already said something. Eugene Peterson said this in his fantastic book, Answering God. It's a book on prayer. All prayer is just a response to the God who's spoken first. Mm. He's given us his word. It is our responsibility to respond to him. And it takes away so much pressure for prayer because I don't have to drum this up. I don't have to initiate anything. I'm responding to a God who's spoken first. And then the more you look into it, you see, oh, this isn't just prayer. This is anything we're doing for God and with God begins with him. Oh, suddenly I can breathe. I'm like, that's possible in a way that me initiating is absolutely not.
I tell you what, I like these guys.
I do too. They're fun. They're practical. They're biblical.
I mean, and it's really going to be helpful for families. You
for
need
sure.
to get their book, Building Spiritual Habits. This is for you as parents in the church. I'm telling you, it's great stuff. We've got the book at familylifetoday.com. Just click on the link in the show notes and pick one up.
I don't know about you, but I need parenting help, not just sometimes, but most of the time. So maybe you feel like that too. And we have resources that will really help you not just once in a while, but as much as you want. That's the benefit. Go to familylife.com/parentinghelp.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.